folks, I came into this country about 15 years back, June 6th, 2000. That's when I entered this country. And 15 years doesn't seem a long time. And yet when I look back at these 15 years, I realized how things have changed just over these 15 years. Of course, 2001 was the September 11th attacks. And since then, boy, things have really changed. I have to admit that for the first time, I live a little fearfully these days. I went to the movies the other day, and people's bags were being searched before they entered the theater. And I have to tell you, it did unnerve me just a little bit. Things that I would normally laugh off, like being flipped off on the road while driving, or somebody cutting the queue to come in front and stand in the queue at a festival or wherever. Normally I would laugh those things off, but I don't do that anymore. Just afraid that somebody may just have a gun. Even racially, I'm living a little more sensitively these days. I'm not taking for granted those things that I used to 15 years back. So today, when I hear Isaiah proclaim the words, "Be strong, do not fear," I ask myself the question, what do those words mean in these times? When I hear those words, I'm comforted, but I'm not sure if I feel very strong. When Isaiah first proclaimed these words, the kingdom of Judah, which is the southern kingdom, and Jerusalem was its capital, they had every reason to be fearful. Historically, the Assyrians had laid a siege over the city. And Judah, this happened about 700 BC, and Judah thought for sure it would be defeated. But just this time, the Assyrians were not able to complete the siege and destroy the city. However, the events made the people look toward God. So when Isaiah declares, "Here is your God," he comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you, and then he says, "Fear not, be strong." What he's really pointing out to is a future king. See, Judah's problem was not the external enemy. They were hardly the problem. The problem was internal leaders. Leaders without integrity. Leaders who, out of fear, would succumb to the pressures of politics, make alliances with people that God clearly said they should not, and in that way, broke their covenant with God, broke their trust in Yahweh, who could protect them. So that was the problem. So Isaiah points out that there will be a leader who will come. And actually, he's pointing out to King Hezekiah, who comes in later, and he's a really great reformer. In the long run, though, Isaiah's prophecy, "Here comes your God," points to Jesus. As we know, Jesus brought tremendous amount of comfort to those in need. And we have one example today. He actually healed somebody who was mute. The deaf were healed, the blind saw, the dumb spoke, the sick were healed, and the dead were raised to life. Isaiah's prophecy truly comes alive in Jesus. But the picture is not all that rosy, is it? Jesus himself confronted fear. There were times he was afraid that people would stone him, and he would quietly escape from among their midst. But we know how the story goes. He was brutally murdered. His fears became real. An innocent man was put to death. So today, as I become aware of my own fears, I ask myself this question: how can I personalize Isaiah's prophecy? This is the word of God. It's got to mean something for me today. How can I be strong and fear not? So here are my three answers to these questions, and I hope my answers will help you in some way as well. First of all, I'm talking about living a life of integrity, and my rationale is that those fears that are outside of me that I have no control over, if somebody tomorrow does harm to me, I have no control over that. How is it that I can still be confident to live in a courageous way? And my own answer is, first of all, living a life of integrity. If my life is a life of integrity, then I am not afraid. Yeah, bad things may happen to me. But if I live a life of integrity, I do not have to live, at least from the fear within me. And today's readings point that out to me. I think of Isaiah, who was actually speaking against the leaders of his time. I think of Jesus. They both prophesied the truth. They stood by the truth. And Jesus was even finally killed for proclaiming the kingdom of God. But notice that both Isaiah and Jesus, not once did they compromise their integrity. Not once. They were men of courage. They were bold men. They did not let fear dictate the life choices they made. When it came to faith, when it came to doing good, when it came to living meaningfully, fear had no control over their lives. They did not hesitate from doing good because they were afraid. No, they were men of integrity who accomplished what God asked them to do. So yes, today I have to admit that I have to live carefully these days. Yet, I cannot let my destiny be controlled by fear. The one thing that I can do is that make my life such that I do not have to be afraid to stand before God. See, that's the biggest fear I have. Is my life such that I fear and tremble when I think of standing before God? The one thing that I can make sure is that my life has integrity. So you and I, your life and mine, should have such integrity, such faith, such honesty, such goodness, that we're not afraid to stand face to face before God. Secondly, taking my cue from the second reading, I want to talk about putting faith into action. Faith into works. Now here's another man who was very prophetic, a man of great integrity, James. He was very prophetic, and he talks about issues that people would otherwise just gloss over, and he talks about it rather blatantly, straightforward. What is James's concern? James's concern is that here are a people of faith, Christians, whose faith does not add up when it comes to life. And particularly one area bothered him, the relationship with the poor. So he says so openly in today's second reading. He says, if a rich man comes with a golden ring and glossy clothes, everybody goes to, please come and be seated. But if a man comes who is in tattered clothes, we don't give them the same respect. And James says, listen, this doesn't add up, does it? Your faith has got to show in action, particularly giving every human person, rich or poor, the dignity that is due to them. That's when faith comes into action. It says, don't treat people. He says, if you do, you become judges over them. Now, I have to admit, I will often judge people by their looks. I try to check myself a lot, but I find myself doing that. If you and I must be confident to stand before God without fear, our lives must be just. Our lives must be just. If I must meet God face to face today, may I be found taking care of the poor, taking care of those who are on the fringes of the church and society, those who are vulnerable. May I be found caring for them. May my faith show itself in works, because if that is the case, then I know that I do not have to be afraid. And that is why this little project that we have of getting food for all is very meaningful. We want to be caught doing the right thing. And thirdly, a life of reconciliation. So I'm saying, first, a life of integrity. Secondly, a life where faith is translated into action. And thirdly, a life of reconciliation. And I want to take a little time to reflect a little deeply on the miracle recounted in today's gospel reading. On a superficial level, it's a story of Jesus healing somebody. There are plenty of stories, and the one thing that it proves is that Jesus was the Son of God. He had divine powers. So on a superficial level, that's the lesson behind the story. In relation to the first reading, it's a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah said, then the tongue of the mute will sing. And that's exactly what happens in today's gospel reading. But as Mark tells the story, there is something deeper going on. Remember, gospel tells us that Jesus performs this miracle in the district of the Decapolis. Now, literally translated, it means the 10 districts, Decapolis, 10 districts. But these districts were the Gentile districts. So these are 10 districts where the Gentiles live, which means that the man who was brought to Jesus was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. Now, Jesus performs this miracle doing really strange actions. He puts his finger in the man's ears. Now, we generally don't do that, do we? We don't go around putting our fingers into people's ears. It's disgusting. Okay. Well, maybe not disgusting. Our ears are clean, but it is not pleasant. Jesus then spits and touches the man's tongue. In other words, Jesus is really performing an action that's far greater than we imagine. And after putting his fingers in his ears, spitting and touching his tongue, he looks up to heaven and he groans. And then he says, be opened. What does this mean? Jesus is not merely performing a miracle. Jesus is reconciling peoples. When you touch a Gentile, you are breaking the Jewish purity laws. You don't touch a Gentile. Jesus does not just merely touch. He actually puts his fingers in the man's ears and spits and touches his tongue. And then he says, be opened, be healed. Jesus was reconciling not only humanity to God, but Jesus was reconciling the Jewish people and the Gentile people. Jesus was being a bridge that day between the divisions that existed in his time. And this, folks, has implications for me and for you. In our world and in our country that is very racially charged these days, very economically divided, religiously and culturally divided, Christ is calling us to be bridges of reconciliation. If we highlight division, If in our words, our thoughts, and our actions, if we fuel prejudice, hatred, bigotry, then we have reasons to be afraid and standing in front of God. If we want to live lives that are without fear, if we want to live fearlessly, we have to live like Christ. Otherwise, we better be afraid. Lives of integrity, lives where faith is translated into action, and lives where we build bridges, where we are reconcilers. Now, I don't know how this sounds to you, but I think that if I can do these three things and do it genuinely, then I'm going to live a life confidently. I'm not going to be afraid because I know that I'm ready to stand without fear before God. So the best way to fear not and be strong is to give ourselves to God and to one another in the way Christ would want us to. And Christ, how does He do it in this Eucharist? Christ gives us Himself to us unconditionally. Christ doesn't look who is here. Anybody who's here is welcome. Come receive Christ. And can we be the same? For me, in this time, this is the meaning of being strong and living without fear. If it has any meaning for you, please pray about it and think about it. May God be with us and make us strong. People of God said, Amen.